The following episode is brought to you by Rorschach. Enjoy his videos, observations, and rants at hearustalk.com/whoishe.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Welcome, welcome one and all to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right, this is the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be. DJNewStyleShow.com, that's the place to download previous episodes of this show and subscribe and maybe learn a little bit of what the hell it is I'm doing here. Thank you for tuning in once again. I have a goddamn cockapoo on my chair that just jumped on my back while I was trying to do this fucking show. Which is the perfect timing for me to launch him across the goddamn fucking room! Anyway, thank you for tuning in. This is the first week of the new format. So if you're wondering, hey, why are the episodes an hour long? It's because there's two per week. Get with the goddamn program, okay? Go and download the other shit at the on the site. And subscribe, tell your fucking friends, and discuss everything with them. Including why you're such an asshole who doesn't fucking pay attention. And maybe why you're trying to be such a fucking do-gooder. As I've said before, this show is now about making the world a better place for me. Okay? I know that, hey, maybe some of you like the way you are. But you need to change. Not all of you. Some of you are great. Some of you are just fucking fine. But by and large, a lot of you are fucked and you ruin my goddamn day. Maybe you enjoy doing that. Maybe you don't need to fucking change. Maybe you are accomplishing everything you want to do just by being your fucked up selves. Well, let me tell you something. I don't appreciate it. And hopefully you'll listen and follow some of these tips that I'm about to give out. And they may not be just bulleted lists of things you need to do. You may need to just fucking comprehend what the fuck I'm saying and just say, hey, maybe if I behave a different way, this asshole in a green fucking striped button-down shirt won't be complaining so much. And then everything will have succeeded. And I'm gonna fucking cough again. I've got a lung issue. Listen, I've got some kind of a lung issue right now. It doesn't fucking matter to you or me. But maybe, just maybe, you're trying to help too much. Maybe you're trying to put yourself out there to be too fucking nice, okay? And maybe the people that you're trying to help don't appreciate it. I was driving home from work. And I've been aware of the problem the person is going to alert me to for quite some fucking time. This angry black man, driving a minivan, which is already puzzling, pulls up next to me and gives me the roll down your window hand signal. And I don't know what to make of it, but I figure we're in suburbia. The angry black man is driving a minivan. I could speed away if he brandishes a weapon. Hey, listen, I'm not a racist. I'm just being real. Okay? Why would anybody in their right fucking mind ask someone to roll down their fucking window? Why? Well, maybe they're lost. Maybe they need directions. Maybe they're going to alert me to something. Or maybe they want to con me and get me into some fucking compromising position where I end up either killed or fucking robbed. It is a possibility. But I am slightly altruistic. And I rolled my window down, and the guy smiled at me, and he said, "You've got a brake light out on your left side." And he waited. And he kept, and he held a smile after he said that. You got a brake light on your left side. Smiling. Thanks. And he still held the smile. And I rolled my window back up. And it's not like he just turned his head to say, hey, by the way. No. He pulled like a, you know, when people go on Sesame Street and they're in a building and they're fucking, their elbow is rested on the sill and they're half hanging out and they're talking to some fucking puppet in a garbage can or whatever. He was that invested in telling me that something was wrong with my car. He was postured differently. He was turned to his left. And all I could say was, thanks, and roll the window up. And I could tell that he was a little bit upset. I don't know what he expected, but it's obvious that he expected more than the thanks and the window roll and the drive away. But what do you want when you do something like that? Do you want to feel better? Do you want someone to fucking just slather praise on you? Oh my, I had no idea the bulb died. I had no idea. I definitely wasn't waiting for a cop to tell me, so I could just not have to get it repaired. I didn't already know about this 6 months ago, and was just praying I don't get fucking pulled over every time I pass the car with lights mounted on the roof. Thank you for alerting me to this. Even if it just fucking happened. Like okay, great, thanks, now I know, and I'll just not deal with it. Because whenever I get a fucking light out in my car, I don't deal with it until it's been documented by the law. And it just so happens that after the man told me about this, a few yards up the road, there was a police officer who decided that he wasn't going to be as nice as the black man in the minivan. He wanted to pull me over, and he warned me. You gotta get this fixed. Gotta get this fixed. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Driving around with a brake light out. Someone might not know that you're braking. Okay, great. So now it's documented. The black guy tells me I have it. And in seconds, the law now knows. After 6 months. I discovered this 6 months ago. I've been driving with the fucking brake light out for 6 months. The guy cursed me. I'm convinced that maybe he was either part of the law, riding around in some fucking undercover minivan vehicle, radioed ahead. Maybe if I was more nice to him, maybe if I gave him a little more praise, he might not have hit that radio. I don't know. I just think that people that do this kind of thing have to have some kind of fucking motive. You can't just be nice like that. You just fucking can't. I didn't want to be bothered, even though it was to try and help me. I didn't want to fucking be bothered. But I don't know. I felt a little bit fucking weird at the idea of not rolling the window down or just driving away. You know, you gotta kind of see what the situation's gonna bring. Yeah, someone wants you to roll your window down. You gotta kind of at least gauge what it might be about. So you can decide, well, okay, great. No threat. I don't know. I don't know what the guy wanted. But anyway, I have to go to the fucking and get my car repaired now. And I blame it on the nice man. And it makes me wonder, like, this guy wanted to reach out to me to help me. But I didn't want to be fucking helped. What could I possibly have done to signal to a person that you don't fucking talk to me. You don't reach out to me. And then I instantly thought of a magical place that I've eaten at. A place called Plataforma Churrascaria, which is a Brazilian rodizio meat restaurant. And hold on a second. Yeah, I have to drink water. Okay? Hold on. And in this restaurant, customers are given a chip. One side is red, one side is green. When you want meat, you flip the coin to green. and people come out with meat and they give you meat. When you have enough meat, or when you don't want to be bothered with meat, you flip it over to red and no one comes near you. No one. And I instantly realized, I want some physical thing, some physical away message, something like that, to just let people know that you don't need to fucking just even reach out to me. You just don't even need to. When you come around with your platter of conversation, goodwill, niceness, humanity, which would normally be appreciated, at this point you see my red chip and you realize he has enough. I will not bother him. And you will move on to someone else with a fucking brake light out. Or someone else who looks like they need someone to tell them hello. I want the world to behave like a Brazilian meat place, but I don't know what the fuck the indicator would be. Scowls don't work. Looking down at your shoes doesn't work. People always think like, oh, this guy's scowling. This guy has his head down to the floor looking at the fucking, looking at his shoes. He's looking at his cell phone. He has headphones on at his desk. He's reading a paper. Maybe if I go and say hello to him or just offer him some assistance, maybe that'll brighten his day. Guess what? It won't! It won't. And you know what? The only way to do it, and it's just being discussed here, the only actual effective Brazilian meat chip for social interaction is, as Casey's saying, a horrific growth on your face. That's really the only way. And I didn't even think about that. Is it worth having a terrible fucking facial deformity to have people not avoid, not bother you, to just avoid you, to feel bad when you catch them looking at you? Because there was someone, when I was getting coffee this morning, there was someone that had a huge bandage on their nose. And I would look at them and I'd feel guilty that I'm looking at them. And all they'd have to do is move their head and I'd instantly look away. I wouldn't even think of engaging this person just because they have a bandage on their face. What if you just tape up an eye? Just completely cover over an eye with some gauze and a fucking bandage. Or you just put it over your ear or your fucking nose. Or you tape your mouth shut. Something. I don't know. I still think that people would fucking engage you and ask you what happened. The only way is to have a fucking a growth that looks like you won't be around too much longer. And that's unfortunate. It doesn't have to be that way. It could be like the meat place. We could all just carry a chip that we wear on our fucking, on our jacket. And if it's red, you don't fucking bother them. But the problem with that, the problem with any rational system to let people know that you don't want to speak, whether it's the away message or the horrible face growth, well, maybe not the horrible face growth, but when you put an away message on, or you mark yourself offline on Facebook, or you tell people, hey, I don't want to be bothered, they kind of take offense to it. They decide, well, oh, why wouldn't you want to be in, why wouldn't you want to hear from me? You don't put your fucking meat chip on the table to red, and the guy with the fucking chicken hearts gets a little bit fucking miffed. Like, ah, he doesn't want my fucking chicken hearts. I'll go to the next table. Fuck him. What an asshole. No, he just moves on and goes about his fucking business. The problem is that people think that if you don't want to talk, it's because of them. They look in them within themselves to see if to try and analyze why someone wouldn't want to talk to them. It's a very arrogant thing. This person doesn't want to be bothered. What do they have against me? Is the fucking mentality that they have. And I don't get it. There's no jealousy between the flank steak and the fucking bacon-wrapped turkey guy at the Brazilian meat place. They don't give a shit. They're doing their own fucking thing. But people never just do their own fucking thing. People always extrapolate. They always try to figure things out. Someone doesn't want to talk to me. I must have done something, or they must think something of me. I have to get to the bottom of it. Yeah, maybe if I just take a dirty sanitary napkin and tape it across my face, maybe then, Walter Sobchak, maybe then people won't talk to me. There's lots of ways, I'm sure, that you could get people to not be around you, but the cost of doing that would not be worth people not approaching you. Yes, you could not bathe. I understand that. I could just let my ass be the stinkiest fucking thing on the planet. No one will come by me. But then I'll be stinky ass man. And I don't want to be that. And I do want to eventually speak with people. There's just some fucking times where, you know what? Don't fucking bother me. Maybe I'm at work trying to figure out a fucking problem. And now you got to walk in and you just say, I just sent this email because, well, what I was thinking... How about you let me read the fucking email? You write something and send it, and then you walk in and fucking explain what you just sent? And this is such a common fucking practice. I know I'm not alone with this, but I know that in every office there's someone who will send a fucking email and then walk in to your office, sit down right in front of your fucking desk, and basically recite what they just wrote to you. Because they demand... instant interaction, instant on-demand fucking interaction. They need you to be available on their fucking whim. Email is bad enough. It's bad enough. It's already enough of an electronic leash, but now they need to have face-to-face fucking interaction that just puts you out of fucking hours of work. You may be an hour into a problem. They come in, put their feet on your fucking desk, and see, the reason why I sent this email is that, you know, the email signature is great, but it could be better. Thanks. Because I couldn't fucking read that. I couldn't infer that it could be better from the words, "it could be better," printed in a fucking email. And it's the whole fucking thing. I don't know. The whole fucking interaction thing. The normal places that frustrate me the most, the small talk driven places, are becoming my favorite fucking interactions with people. I just recently got a haircut. Thank you. I understand. I look great. But I got a haircut. And usually it's a dreadful exchange. Weather. Politics. Don't understand that pop culture thing. It's dreadful. But lately, I've been selecting one particular haircutting professional. I can't believe that the guy actually has a business card that says haircutting professional. Hold on a second. I need to drink some water. My throat is a little bit scratchy and I'm coughing because I have a lung issue. Lately, this person, the haircutting professional, has decided to abandon the weather and politics and all the other shit in favor of trying to turn the customer against his boss. And I could not be a bigger fan of this. I go in, I sit down, and I say nothing. This has been my move. If the guy doesn't want to talk, he doesn't have to fucking talk. I'm assuming that his Brazilian Rodizio meat chip is on red. I assume everybody's is on fucking red until they show me that they've flipped it to green and start speaking to me. So, I assume he's red. Doesn't want to talk. All of a sudden, he says, "You see the white-haired guy walking around? That's the boss. I've been here 23 years. Everybody else is customers." He goes up to him. He goes, "What did you think?" He goes up to my customers and he says, "Is everything okay? You see where I'm going with this?" And I said, "Wait, no, I don't understand." He asks everybody else's customers what they thought of the experience, giving them the opportunity to praise it. He asks mine if everything was okay, expecting negativity. And now I'm in this whole conspiracy theory. I'm in a little bit behind the scenes. And I'm like, yeah, fuck this guy. You know what, dude? No, watch when he asks me. And it made the whole fucking thing a little more exciting. I got to see a little bit below the surface and experience boss hatred in a whole other industry. In the haircutting industry, there's a boss who runs around and he plays favorites. And everybody either loves him or hates him. And I'm with a person who fucking hates the guy, but won't leave the job. Loves the job. He's a haircutting professional. Hates his boss. And what he's chosen to do is bring us in on this hatred. And it makes it so much more exciting that previously I wouldn't go to that fucking guy because I wasn't happy with his haircuts. Now the guy could give me the shittiest haircut in the world. And I would still go back to him because I want the updates. What did this fucking asshole do this week? What did he fucking get you into? What kind? Did he rake you over the fucking coals? I can't believe this white-headed fuck. And I gotta say, if more people shit-talk their boss to their customers, you know, I mean, more people will probably get fired. But I just find it so much, so interesting. I want to hear everybody's frustration with the management that they have to fucking deal with to make a goddamn living. If I have to interact with you, I would prefer to hear you just air your frustrations about your fucking boss. Because we all have them. We all have our little frustrations. Yeah, you know, they make you do this. They make you do that. They're moving someone up and you're staying behind. I love that shit. Because it doesn't apply. In my case, I happen to have a very good relationship with my boss. I enjoy the guy as a person. But I've been in that situation where I'm working a shit job and I have a shit fucking boss. And I've always wanted to just fucking unload on all the frustrations on somebody. Let them know about Toothless Stan, the McDonald's manager who's probably still a McDonald's manager. Or maybe he took a new life path and he's pushing tacos at Taco Bell. I've always wanted to do that. And I've always wanted to hear about other people's stands. I don't want to hear about the fucking weather. I don't. If you want a more relatable thing, relate with people about your fucking boss. People love to hear about your shitty day at work if you bring them in. If you're not just bitching about, oh, I gotta be on my feet all day. I gotta be here 12 hours a day. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear you try to undermine the fucking operation. That's what they want. That's what I want. And I want more of it. I want it everywhere. I'm done with these people with this manufactured fucking enthusiasm for jobs that don't mean fucking shit. There is a Twitter user that if you're not following, you are an asshole. And that is The Awful Hour. You need to go on Twitter and follow him because he knows exactly what the fuck I'm talking about. 316-768-4472. That's the number to call if you want to be a part of the show if you're listening live. Every Tuesday night from 9 to 11, we're producing two-hour-long episodes for now, just to see how it goes. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
This is Walter Sobchak, sir. How are you?
Walter Sobchak. What's going on, buddy?
Well, I wanted to, you're talking about boss stories and being able to relate. I had a boss that retired in May that was much like the guy that you're kind of describing that would send an email and then walk in 5 seconds later and go, hey, what'd you think about that email?
Ugh.
I'm like, well, I haven't even read it yet, sir. And he's the kind of guy that, like, I guess as they get older, they lose track of time. Like,
yeah.
You know, even your fathers will be like, it just takes 5 minutes. No, it takes a couple of hours, you know, I gotta, anyway. That incessant, like, I have to know everything all the time. I cannot let a single piece of scrap of paper leave this office without my initials on it.
Yes.
Okay? Well, the only thing lately that has made me feel good is he retired in May. And it was probably the greatest moment ever is he walked into, he decided at 73 he's going to retire and bought an iPhone 4, never previously owning anything like it. Okay, you know exactly where this is heading.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. So he constantly rolls in, even though he's retired. Hey, I can't get this to work. I can't get this to work. So we're slowly trying to explain syncing. And then he goes, well, that's not syncing. Well, what do you mean? Well, that's not what it's doing. I said, well, why don't you email Steve Jobs and get him to change the literature on everything? He goes, well, I don't think I need that kind of attitude. I said, well, like, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
So finally, this is what ends up happening. He rolls into our office and just throws a phone down and said, this thing's a piece of shit. And I go, what do you mean it's a piece of shit? I mean, obviously you may not like the phone, but it's actually a fantastic piece of machinery. He goes, I can't get any emails. I'm not getting my emails. I go, what do you mean? I'm not getting them. I said, okay. All right, so let's check it out. So we sent his old executive secretary to her office and sent three emails to his three email accounts that were on his phone. So we sit there. As she walks in, he goes, ah, this goddamn phone's not working. We hear bing, bing, bing. And we hear the three emails come in. And I remember looking at my brother and looking at her, and we're all having the same thought that nobody wanted to tell him, look, asshole, you're not getting any emails. That's why it's not working. No one's sending you any information anymore. And so no one wanted to explain that to him because it didn't click in his brain. So that was that little revenge that, you know, fuck you, you know?
Yeah. Did you eventually tell him that the reason he wasn't receiving email on his phone is because
no, absolutely not. It's more fun for him to pretend that it's just not working.
Okay.
Because I don't know. It's hard to. He's a really smart guy. He is a smart guy. You know, he's the kind of guy, I don't know if I've told you this before, he's the kind of guy that I was trying to explain relativity to him, and he just, I don't get it. I'm like, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sir, let me explain something. Do you realize how much math and derivation went from where you left off in high school to now? I mean, do you realize, you know, I realized that, he goes, well, I like the whole thing, and I think, look, they've already proven all this in experiments. Well, I don't know about them. Well, I'm sorry that in 1949... they didn't send a memo over to your house in San Antonio. Let Gil know that we've got this solved. You know, you have to do a little research, you know. But anyway, they're just the shitty bosses and stuff like that. I just, you know, or have the, you know, you talked about McDonald's having a short order cook when I was back in college, you know, and this guy acting like this job is the greatest thing ever. Like, this is my stepping stone. I'm like, dude, the only difference, and he's, you know, he's maybe 5-6 years older than we are. I'm just like, yeah, man, we've got a real team. We got to go do this. We serve shitty hamburgers, you know, and soggy fries. Relax, you know.
Yeah.
Get another job. And you know, man, I need more hours out of you and this. And I was like, you know, well, I'm sorry, you know. It's just, I don't know.
I always loved working the shitty job. And then, like, the guy who was so enthusiastic about pushing the business forward, even though he's on the same level as me. He's like, guys, you know, we're going to reduce shrink by, like, 3% this month. And you know what we're going to do is, the way we're going to do it is by greeting all the customers. They do that at Walmart. And I'm like, yeah, what's that going to get you? Are you going to get another nickel per hour? No, you're not going to get shit. If everybody walks out of there stealing something, or everybody fucking apprehends a thief, the same fucking outcome for you is what it is now. You make this, and you're here this long. That's the one fucking equation. So as long as the place is up, you have a goddamn job here. Whether or not you improve it, it doesn't fucking matter. You're not moving up. You'll only move laterally if you fucking put that much passion into this shit fucking job.
Yeah, the two greatest jobs I had was one working in a reinforced concrete warehouse in the south tip of Brownsville, so it's hot during the summer, and you know, it was on two separate occasions I worked with old World War II veterans, and they're fantastic. Like, this guy, he's like, just a crumbled old veteran, and he's got a shitty attitude. And I've known him for years, and I'm like, man, he's just got a shitty attitude. And he came to work just a little lit, just a little drunk.
Nice.
And we're talking, hey, you know, he's talking shit, and he's like, I said, man, why do you have such a shitty attitude? And then he starts to roll into this story about watching his buddy's brains get blown up in front of him. And, you know, see this finger? It's over in Korea somewhere right now. I said, you fought in World War II and Korea? Yeah, I did. I was in the WW2. And he says, you read those little history books they tell you about, oh, we kicked ass. And stuff. I don't, everybody I knew from there is dead. I watched them blow up. You have to sit around all day with your buddy's brains all over your fucking helmet and stuff. I'm like, okay, if you want to have a shitty attitude, you have every right, you know?
Yeah, well, Abe, that's great and all, but are you going to take your 30-minute break now, or do you want to just not take one and leave early? And by the way, thanks for your service to our country, but also there's no toilet paper in one of the stalls in the back in the bathroom, so if you could take care of that. And and you didn't punch in on time. If you can remember to do that next time. It didn't fucking matter who you were. You were working a shit goddamn job. There is no more respect for anybody.
No,
ever.
None. The other war veteran that I got to work with in this warehouse was a Korean War veteran. Okay.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it was a paper factory. And here's the deal. He apparently, you know, just hook and crook, didn't make a lot of money. And apparently, without him saying it, I'll tell you about management. He would walk around. He only had like half his hand.
Jesus.
Half his hand. And he was thinking, hey, did you lose that in the war or whatever? He goes, no. And then you have to find out from his employees' friends who said he came up with a scheme apparently like 15 years ago that he was going to try and do a workman's comp deal. And they're old school paper slicers, right? And he basically put his hand up in the fucking paper slicer, and it cut off his fucking hand. Okay? Right? In an attempt to do a workman's comp, I'm going to sue the company for millions of dollars. Well, the problem with it is the fucking machine, like, you'd almost, there's no way for it, like, it wasn't like you fell and go, oh, it chopped it off. It was clear you'd had to have stuck your fucking hand in there. So he got nothing from the company. They told him, fuck you, you did it on purpose. And so he kept the job. They didn't fire him.
He didn't even quit.
So he's just a bitter old fuck with half his hand walking around still picking up boxes in the same warehouse that he chopped his fucking hand off in.
Jesus. He fought in Korea. He came away from a major conflict intact with his whole hand. And he lost it trying to fucking scam money out of a paper company.
Absolutely.
Fuck off. You get the same pay if you want it, or you can just fucking leave and work somewhere else with your half hand. Go ahead and try to get more, Hook.
Yeah, here's for your military service. We'll fire you. How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, brutal. Anyway, sir, I need to get going. I will talk to you later.
Thank you, buddy, for calling in. I really, really appreciate it. Sorry. Hung up on you a little prematurely. Sorry about that. Man, I love hearing about fucked up shit like that. I love hearing about people that get fucked over and people that have just had enough. I don't know why. Maybe that's the type of person I am. Maybe that's where I'm at. My enjoyment is derived from just fucking misery and frustration of other people. Maybe if I really want to make the world a better place for me, I need to just find more people that have had just about enough of whatever fucking shit that they keep putting onto themselves. This guy works this shitty paper job for years, comes up with a scheme that harms himself for life to get out of it. It falls apart, and he still works there. He gets no better of fate from losing half of his hand. And in fact, it's probably even worse because they know he did it on purpose to fuck them out of money. So any respect is just completely gone. I love that. I absolutely love that. About as much as I love ICU2. Go to ICU2.com. It's voice chat where you see people and you're face to face from any place. Get it? What about people in fucking Nebraska? They want to video chat with you. Well, if they're on ICU2 and you're on ICU2, well, you can do it. It's possible. The way to do it is go to ICU2.com. Download the software. It's free to try. Give it a shot. You're gonna fucking love it. And when you're on there, maybe you just say, hey, I heard about this on Hear Us Talk. and then everybody will smile and applaud, and whoever's on cam will do fucking jump rope and fucking and 16 jumping jacks while saying Heroes Talk is fucking great. ICU, the number 2.com. Well, before Walter Subject called in, I was talking about Twitter and the best Twitter user that I've seen, which is The Awful Hour. And one of his tweets recently really, really resonated with me. And it had something to do with the idea of manufactured enthusiasm for shit work. The type of work where no big fucking deal. You just do it because you have bills to pay. But people hate doing that kind of work. If you're not inventing something or crafting some art, you probably just don't really enjoy what you do. It's usually drudgery. People go to a fucking cube farm. They go in and they have their little mug on their fucking desk. And they print things. And they interact with other people who fucking print things and shove shit in fucking drawers. And what they do is they find little ways to justify why they're doing this and make it better. And immediately on the first Monday after New Year's, he tweeted, "I swear, one more fucking vacation's over, back to work, let's go for it," tweet. "And this relationship is over." It's so fucking true. People have to generate this enthusiasm for their lives so that they can sell the idea of being themselves back to themselves. They say go for it and let's roll up your sleeves and just get down into it. And let's just con ourselves into believing that what we have to do, it's this great effort, and it's gonna be great. If we just try hard enough, if we put enough passion behind it, it's gonna be swell, and we're gonna love doing it. I don't fucking get that idea. I never did. And it's the same thing as the guy who works at a retail place and cares about the figures, the fucking amount of shit that gets stolen by fucking or damaged by vandals, or really cares about how the company is doing and looks at it as more than just a way to get the money you need to cover the fucking expenses you have. When you work in that kind of fucking job, that's really all it is. It's a means to get fucking money. But some people decide, I'm going to make it more than that. It's going to be a passion. This is my career. I'm going to do that. Yeah, I'm going to also steal hours from them and play Farmville and then alt-tab real quick to a spreadsheet that I'll always have open whenever anybody walks near or gets within eye shot of my screen. But as soon as I hear the footsteps dampen into nothingness, I'm back raising my gray mares and plowing my fields of fucking tobacco. It's fucking hideous, and I can't fucking stand it. And you know what? The worst of it is that these people that basically post the captions of motivational posters to themselves and their fucking friends on Facebook are the same type to describe a challenging day at their job as putting out fires. Oh, how was work, honey? Oh, it was terrible. I was putting out fires all day. Way to fucking degrade somebody who actually fucking extinguishes flames from fucking houses as their goddamn career. What were you doing? Opening a drawer and looking at a folder and, oh my God, the papers aren't in that folder. They're in another one. I've got to find them. Fucking hate it. Absolutely hate it. I just don't understand. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's what somebody on the edge of just a complete fucking meltdown has to do to prevent tipping over into just causing fucking mayhem and slinging hot coffee in their fucking boss's face and punching somebody who sends them fucking email forwards with dumb jokes and fucking interviews on The Tonight Show that never fucking happened. Like, oh, do you remember when Kirk Cameron said it best about America? I'm like, it's just so fucking stupid. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I hate I guess I hate people that try to make the best of it. That's what I'm learning about myself. When people try to make the best of things, I just fucking hate it. Because you're kidding yourself. You're making it worse for everybody who has to see you try to justify your entire fucking life. Oh, well, you know what? Work is work. But sometimes you just gotta get in the trenches and plow through it. What a grandiose way to describe fucking hitting the print button 17 times. I fucking hate it. Absolutely hate it. Another thing I hate, though, with respect to this grandiose view of what you do, are people that have websites that act as though these websites are businesses. They have a goddamn site, and they post themselves as CEO of sitename.net. I've been doing this shit on Fiverr.com where I make up songs, and that's something I've done for quite a while. I need to drink. My throat is dry. Excuse me. It's the last of it. I've been making songs for people, and they pay me $5 to do it. So it's a little bit of a dumb hobby that I do that gets me a little bit of fucking money. And most of the requests come in from people with websites that just want like a song for their site. Whatever. One of them was a site called onlineclock.net, which is just a website that displays a digital clock. And you can use it to make an alarm go off. That's all it is. And the guy wanted a song about his site, Online Clock. And I made him one. And he was not happy with it. This is the actual song that I put up for him. $5, by the way.
OnlineClock.net. 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 Go there and don't forget. If you have trouble waking up in the early morn, if you need to be reminded to stop looking at that porn, go to this website, set some easy to use reminders up, and then you'll get your life back online. OnlineClock.net. OnlineClock.net. Easy to use, hard to forget. OnlineClock.net.
$5, okay? Make up a song and $5. And I sent that to the guy. And the guy immediately posted, "Oh, great job. Thanks for the song." And then a minute or two later, I got a message in my Fiverr inbox from this guy, who is known as Friendly Man. His name on Fiverr is Friendly Man. And after telling me, "Great job, you know, thanks for the song," he says, "It's very unfortunate that the song you created mentions porn. Because of this, we're unable to use it. This was very bad judgment on your part. What kind of business wants to have itself associated with porn?" And he used a question mark exclamation combo to indicate exasperation. "We'd very much appreciate it if you could please send us a revised version without the porn reference. Business! It's a website with a fucking digital clock on it. It's a fucking digital clock webpage. There is nothing on it. Nothing. And he's acting as though I'm compromising his entire fucking plan and his position with as CEO, that the board of directors of OnlineClock.net might have him overthrown. And if he were to even use this song. And for what? If you have trouble waking up in the early morn, or if you need to be reminded to stop looking at that porn. It's a little fucking joke. The guy's requested, make it humorous. The fucking, he obviously saw the songs that I make, which are far worse than any of that, content and quality-wise. And then, after he receives it, great job. Thanks for the song. And he ended the transaction. Ended the transaction, accepted it, marked it as a positive transaction on Fiverr, and then wrote me this thing and says, bad judgment on your part. Okay, great. How about bad judgment, the bad judgment of putting your entire business's marketing campaign on a song you paid $5 to some internet anonymous asshole? Well, the campaign will never work now. We blew our $5 marketing budget on a song we can't use. Please redo it. Very bad judgment call. You're not a... It's not a fucking business. I demand to see your profit and loss sheets. Onlineclock.net. Let's see the P&L. Okay, you have a Google ad box on your site, so people can click. I'm sure you've amassed thousands and thousands of dollars. I just don't fucking get it. Just grandiose fucking descriptions to try and get whatever it is you think you want. If the guy hated the song, you know, that's completely fine. You know, making a random song about a fucking website when all you're told is, hey, I have a clock website where people can set easy-to-use reminders. You can make it funny. Okay. What do you want? I'm not pitching a fucking jingle for Pepsi. It's a fucking red digital clock on a black background. I'm sure that, I was gonna stare at your time all day long until I heard that there was a song about this page that mentioned pornography. Could you imagine that people watch pornography and then need to know the time? Onlineclock.net. Suck my fucking dick. Just manufactured stature, manufactured fucking hope and enthusiasm for shitty jobs, and now the final thing that I've discovered that people manufactured for themselves is manufactured charity. Every single time there's a big jackpot, you're going to hear and see on Facebook people going for the Mega Millions. I'm going to go for that big lotto win. I'm going to do it. I'm going to put my numbers in and I'm going to win. Great. Perfectly fine. But what does one person, or, you know, at least one say every single time? Hey, if I win, I'm giving you $1 million. If I win, we're all getting cars. Oh, did you hear that if Theodore wins the Mega Millions, we're all going to get new vehicles? Wow. I'm so sick of people deciding what the fuck they're going to do with winnings they're never going to win. I'm just so fucking sick of it. I'm sick of hearing about the goddamn lottery, too. I'm going to win. I'm going to do it. Do it and shut the fuck up. If you win, great. Sing your own fucking praises. But don't just go every fucking week and talk yourself up like luck is going to be on your fucking side when you buy a Slim Jim, a fucking buttered roll, and a goddamn Mega Millions ticket. It just fucking irritates me. It fucking irritates me. Because it would be great. Dollar and a dream, in it to win it, all that shit. All of it. But, hey, if I win, I'm going to pay off my mortgage. I'm going to pay off my car. It's never practical. It's always, if I win, we're going to all get golden tract housing in the same fucking island in off the coast of fucking South Africa. Honestly, no one ever fucking says, if I win, I'm going to save it and just put it away, take care of all my debts. You know, settle up the cards I've been racking up and ignoring for the past 5 fucking years. Never. We're all gonna get cars. Oh, for fucking joy. I can't wait. I have mine picked out. And even worse than any of that is the story of the one time they didn't play. And their numbers came up. Oh, I play all the time now. Because once, 5 of my numbers came up. I would have won this. I would have won that. No more of this. No more of that. I'm so tired of fucking lotto war stories. And just even conversation on the fucking lotto. The fact that I'm even speaking about this now, I'm fucking tired of it. And I'm sure all of you are as well. I can't fucking stand it. The manufactured fucking hope, enthusiasm, charity, and stature. Just fucking stop it. Just give up on yourselves. Pristine is actually saying that if I won $1 million, I'd spend it all on DJ New Style original songs on Fiverr. You would have to buy a shitload of songs. We could just probably do this outside of Fiverr if you want. If you really want just one expensive song, probably make it easier for me. I really hope you win now. Maybe I'll buy tickets for you. Because you're such a noble person that if you win, you're going to take all the money that you get and give some of it to me. just once, I would love one of these people to fucking win and see how fast they fucking turn their backs on that. Why say it? Why fucking say it? Because you know never in your life are you going to have that sum of money to split up and divvy amongst people. And we're all going to get fucking BMWs. And we're all going to go on vacation 3 times a year. It's going to be entourage. Shut the fuck up, please. Please. If you win, you won't want anybody you ever knew speaking to you. Because you'll have something that they want. And they'll give you something you don't. Which is the expectation of you giving them something. And you offer it up. And you don't have it. Stupid. Fucking dumb. And anybody who would say, hey, you know, I hope he wins. Because he's gonna set us all up. Anybody who would actually even put any fucking credence in it. It's just something you fucking say because you have nothing to fucking say. Just stupid. Absolutely fucking dumb. Onlineclock.net, though, I gotta tell you. If you don't own a digital clock and you want one wherever you have an internet connection, you go there. It's a great company. I would call the Better Business Bureau and just make sure that you mention how good a job they're doing at being a business. Fucking assholes. I don't know. This is the first week of this format of doing 2 episodes in 1 week, broadcast in 1 night. And all in all, I'm kind of shaky on the idea. And I think that's because it's new. So I'm going to keep going with it. And I hope that you'll follow me. And I hope that you'll download all the episodes that we put out. And we'll see where I take this. The idea of doing the 2 episodes in 1 night, hopefully I can do it without fucking coughing or having my my dog chew things or make noise or jump on me or whatever. I got a lung issue, okay? I got a fucking lung issue. The idea of doing it is to attract maybe a more of a live audience so that they'll want to hear everything all at once and not wait for it to be released. The second hour, released Friday mornings, and the first hour, released on Wednesdays. So we'll see how it pans out. Listening to a 2-hour podcast, it takes a special kind of listener to even get to the hour mark in a 2-hour podcast, let alone finish it. Go back and finish the whole fucking thing. So anybody who does that, I really appreciate it. But an hour chunk, I would think that the average podcast listener can get through an hour and probably would appreciate it a little bit more than listening, looking at the progress bar, seeing 50% and saying, fuck. Well, you know, I'll try something else. I'll come back and listen to that. And then they never do. So we'll see how this little experiment goes. Hopefully when I'm well. Holy shit. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the DJ New Style Show. Please, please listen, subscribe, and download everything that I've ever done on DJNewStyleShow.com. And listen to all the programming on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and a place to be. If you have any feedback or comments, you can do so on Facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. In the Hear Us Talk forums at HearUsTalk.com/forum. Or email me. I'm DJ New Style on Gmail. And I say on because I'm a fucking 79-year-old man who doesn't know how to say an email address. DJNewStyle@gmail.com. Anyway, thank you for tuning in. You're all great. However, I am greater. No, I'm not. Yes, I am.